Hey, good morning. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 12. 2 Kings 12. In the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash became king and reigned 40 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash did right in the sight of the Lord all his days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Only the high places were not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. Then Jehoash said to the priests, "All the money of the sacred things which is brought into the house of the Lord in current money, both the money of each man's assessment and all the money which any man's heart prompts him to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priests take it for themselves, each from his acquaintance, and they shall repair the damages of the house wherever any damage may be found." But it came about that in the 23rd year of King Jehoash, the priests had not repaired the damages of the house. Then King Jehoash called for Jehoiada, the priest, and for the other priests, and said to them, "Why do you not repair the damages of the house? Now, therefore, take no more money from your acquaintances, but pay for it for the damages of the house." So the priests agreed that they should take no more money from the people, nor repair the damages of the house. But Jehoiada, the priest, took a chest and bored a hole in its lid, put it beside the altar on the right side as one comes into the house of the Lord, and the priests who guarded the threshold put in it all the money which was brought into the house of the Lord. And when they saw that there was much money in the chest, the king's scribes and the high priest came up and tied it in bags and counted the money which was found in the house of the Lord. And they gave the money which was weighed out into the hands of those who did the work, who had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they paid it out to the carpenters and the builders who worked on the house of the Lord, and to the masons and the stone cutters, and for buying timber and hewn stone to repair the damages to the house of the Lord, and for all that was laid out for the house to repair it. But there was not made for the house of the Lord silver cups, snuffers, bowls, trumpets, any vessels of gold or vessels of silver from the money which was brought into the house of the Lord. For they gave that to those who did the work, and with it they repaired the house of the Lord. Moreover, they did not require an accounting from the men into whose hand they gave the money to pay for those who did the work, for they dealt faithfully. The money from the guilt offerings and the money from the sin offerings was not brought into the house of the Lord, it was for the priests. Then Hazael, king of Aram, went up and fought against Gath and captured it. And Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem. And Jehoash, king of Judah, took all the sacred things that Jehoshaphat and Joram and Ahaziah, his father's kings of Judah, had dedicated, and his own sacred things and all the gold that was found among the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent them to Hazael, king of Aram. Then he went away from Jerusalem. Now the rest of the acts of Joash and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And his servants arose and made a conspiracy and struck down Joash at the house of Milo as he was going down to Selah. For Jozachar, the son of Shimeath, and Jehozabad, the son of Shomer, his servant, struck him, and he died. And they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Amaziah, his son, became king in his place. Amen. So we really just have a short chapter dealing with Joash. When you read this, just this part, you're not really going to get the whole story. You actually have to go and read the Chronicles as well. There's a couple chapters on Joash, and I'll refer to that a little bit to give us a little more kind of a color commentary, because, you know, you think, wow, this guy was really good. He repaired the temple. He had faithful men, and then he gets murdered. So you figured, okay, something is missing in this picture, and I'll fill in the missing ones with what happens in Chronicles. So Joash, remember, Joash becomes king. We dealt with that yesterday. He comes, and again, he did right in the sight of the Lord, but notice something very, very important. All his days in which Jehoiada, the priest, instructed him. The reason why Jehoash gets murdered is because after Jehoiada, the high priest, dies, he lived to really ripe age, 100-some. And after he dies, he turns away from the Lord. And he actually starts following the Asherim and idols. And he leads Judah into idolatry. So much so that Zedekiah, the high priest's son, after his death, he comes up into the front of the altar and he prophesies. And he basically tells the people to repent because they've turned away. And Joash basically stones Zedekiah, and he dies right there. So he's murdered because he speaks the word of the Lord. And so then later on, these would be servants in the house of the high priest end up killing Joash because of his treachery. And it's very interesting. Jehoiada is buried in the city of David, but he's buried among the kings. Jehoash is also buried in the city of David, but he's not buried among the kings. And so there's some interesting things happening there, but let's stick to this text before we kind of go all over the place. And so, again, verse 2, Jehoash did right in the sight of the Lord all his days, in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. How important is it for us that are in some kind of leadership? How important is for us that are in some kind of rulership or some position of authority that we also have people speaking into our lives? You can call this accountability, brothers, or things like that, but that's not really quite what we're talking about here. Because when we talk about accountability brothers, we're basically talking about peers. And I don't remember if Pastor Brian, he talked about this in our house church leaders sessions or in our services. But there's a mentoring model, or really more than anything else, a model of discipleship and accountability. And it's actually my old professor, Bobby Clinton, that really brought this out. And actually Brian was using Bobby's materials, and he talks about this. It's really the idea of a cross, and we're right in the center of the cross in terms of these kind of relationships that we need to have with people. And there should be someone above you, you know, someone that you respect, someone that has some authority over you in some way, and that we're receiving instruction. It's coming from top down in that regard. But there's also should be people below you, people that you speak into, people that you are discipling and that you are keeping accountable and helping to grow in Christ. But also there's a horizontal relationship. And the way that it's described is actually twofold. There should be accountability brothers or mentors or friends, but kind of on the same level. And the one side is within your organization. So if we think about like a pastor at church, this would be like Pastor Nate, Pastor Ricky, Pastor Mary, Andrew, all these guys that are keeping each other accountable and speaking into their life. But also Clinton talks about a whole other side, the other part of the arm or the cross, which is peers outside of your organization. And so these would be people that maybe Pastor Nate is part of a group of youth pastors in Hong Kong, which is perfect, right? And so these guys are speaking to your life, and you're getting ideas from, and you're learning, and you're discipling in this horizontal plane peers in that regard. And so how important that is in relationships. So just think about the cross, right? This cross six, people that are over you that can speak into your life, that are more seasoned. Like if I think in my life, that's someone like RT, right? Definitely someone that I can call and which I do frequently and speak to, and he speaks into my life, or someone like Bobby Connor or Dr. Ryan Chang or others that are Che, these guys that have come to speak at SP, but that really kind of speak into my life, and I go to them and they help me in my discipleship. And then and then outside, and then obviously people that we're discipling. And people that are looking to us, as you can I look to the top of the cross. You guys understand this picture? And that's a very holistic picture of discipleship. It's a very holistic picture of kingdom relationships and how God wants us to operate in. And in particular for Jehoash, because he had Jehoiada at top, and he there was a good solid relationship, and Jehoiada was an incredible high priest. He was an incredible man of God. And remember, he hid this boy for 6 years, risking his life from Athaliah, the queen. And so you can imagine think of this incredible father-son relationship that they had in this place. And so and whenever he aligned himself with the teachings and the instruction, then guess what? He prospered. And he did right in the sight of the Lord. But you could also see the verse 3 that it was still incomplete in that regard. That there were still the high places that were there. And so there was a part of Israel that even the high priests and all the temple couldn't even touch, because sin was still lurking and creeping within Judah. So Joash, he has this idea, because now the temple is getting old. And the temple, remember, is really the center of the Jewish universe. And this is particularly why, a really simple fact, why there's Israel in a northern and southern kingdom, and that's why they're divided. The issue, in many ways, has to do with the temple. Remember, we go all the way back to Jeroboam, and he said, well, if I let my people go to the temple, which is the righteous thing to do, if I let them go to the temple, then they're going to start following the son of David, and then what's going to happen to my kingdom? And so remember, he sets up the two altars in Dan and Dan and Beersheba, or I know for sure it's Dan, was in this other place. And so he sets up these two outposts where they can come and worship, and instead of the God of Israel, then they start worshiping the idols of Baal. And that's how this whole thing starts, and that's why Israel gets punished, kingdom after kingdom after kingdom, because they forsook the temple. And so Jehoash, being very aware of this, he says, we need to repair the temple. The temple is getting a little old. The breaches, meaning that there's actual places in the wall that's falling apart. And so he develops this great strategy and kind of gives us a kind of idea into our giving. And notice what he says. Look what he says in verse 4. He says, towards that, and so brought into the house of the Lord in current money, both the money of each man's assessment and all the money which any man's heart prompts him to bring into the house of the Lord. So we have, think about this, the way this works. We have the person's assessment. In other words, this is what rightfully he should be giving to the Lord. We very easily, they call this the tithe. And then there's another part of giving that says, as he is prompted in his heart, as his heart wants to give. And that's what we would call offering. Now, I know that it's all the same, okay? So we call it offerings, but actually, you should actually divide these two things up as tithes and offerings. The tithe belongs to God. It's like it doesn't belong to us. It's totally belongs to the Lord. And in fact, you not tithing, the Bible says that you're stealing from God. And so, which means that, everything belongs to God, okay? And so, let's get that straight. But he does say that God, he's not greedy. He says, give me a tenth. Just real simple, give me a tenth. And, and some people want to argue, well, that's Old Testament, Old Covenant. This is New Covenant. And I say, no. That's actually not very good teaching, because the tithe started before the law of Moses. And so this was put into the heart of man way before the Mosaic law comes into effect. So it supersedes Old Covenant, New Covenant. Okay, so let's get rid of that foolishness. And so he says, so the tithe. And so the tithe belongs to God. This is your assessment. You lay out what's happening there. So you tithe. And then the other part is offering. And this is what you are compelled in your heart to give. Think about one part, the tithe. You have no choice in the matter. It belongs to God. Offering, you actually have a choice. And I think, as I really meditate a lot and think about how God structures this, a lot of it centers on the issue of control. on control. And in the sense that, and so, you know, I have people come and, oh, Peace Sam, can I just give to any charity that I want? I mean, I'm not keeping it, but I'm giving to charity and these type of things. And I say, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that per se, but are you tithing first? And then, you know, so that's outside of your control. That's just pure submission, pure obedience, that's pure honoring God and honoring His house. And then after that, then your offering, you can choose to do whatever you want. But generally when people ask me those questions is because they want to administer the tithe themselves. Obviously, you know, throughout the scriptures, they lay out this difference. Interestingly enough, when we talk about increase in New Testament, when we talk about the giving of increase, you know, and give, and it should be given to you, pressed down, and all those things, incidentally enough, it's not talking about tithe. Think about it this way. Tithing gets you face-to-face with God. Now, you are in right relationship with God. You know what I mean? You're no longer sinning. And so tithe just gets you face-to-face. You are in right relationship. It's the offering. It's what happens above and beyond the tithe. That's where the increase happens from. And so when you hear the prosperity message, which, you know, I don't want to make such a statement so early in the morning, you know, but the prosperity message, some of it's good in that sense that, yeah, I mean, our God is a generous God, you know. I mean, He's incredibly generous. You can never outgive God. You know, and all those things. I think where the prosperity message loses it sometimes is that wealth becomes the it thing. Like, so if you're wealthy, that is a sign of God's blessing, but we know that's not biblical, right? Because God always exalts the poor. So, I mean, how does that work into this thing? And so they've basically used a humanistic or a kind of a worldly point of view to point to some spiritual marker in that way, but that doesn't relate. Plus, the prosperity movement doesn't really have a really good theology on suffering. And so everything is about blessing. But how many know God blesses us with suffering? If you've ever seen the movie Shadowlands, beautiful movie, C.S. Lewis, and he's in part of the movie, he's giving a sermon in a church. And in the sermon, he talks about suffering, and his basic message is suffering is one of the gifts that God gives to the church. It's one of the most precious things that God can really give. And I mean, I do such a poor job to what Lewis is saying. And I mean, just renting the movie is worth it just to read that, just to hear that one part of his sermon, which really is woven into a lot of his books. As he talks about this, remember another famous Lewis quote is he screams in the midst of our pain. You know, God is, you know, God's silent in these, but He screams, He yells in our pain. In other words, that's when His voice is the loudest and clearest, and probably because that's when we're at the lowest and we're now open to hear and we're open to the Lord and all these things. So, I totally forgot what I was talking about, but. Okay, tithe, free will. So, the prosperity movement. Yeah, so in the prosperity movement, they unfortunately lose sight of all these things. And so, but the increase, right, is tithe, face-to-face. I mean, there's inherent blessing there. But when we're talking about overflowing and that kind of stuff, it's from offering. It's above and beyond what you are required to give to the Lord. And this is where I've seen so many incredible testimonies of people just getting their, I mean, the socks blessed. I mean, just rocking them. And it's interesting enough, as I look back, and nowadays we don't really hear that many incredible testimonies financially this way. You know, when we heard it a lot was during our Vision Fund. Was, if you remember the time, back in the days, we had our Vision Fund, and there were so many testimonies. Why? Because we gave an opportunity to the church to give way above their tithe and their mission giving and all these things. And God just blessed them, and the increase is in that way. So, I'm running out of time. I'll do this real quick. So the temple, unfortunately, he has this plan, but these guys don't follow through, unfortunately. And so the priests, they don't repair. And so Jehoiada comes up with another plan, and he just sets the money. In other words, the priests don't have any hands-on handling of the money, which I think is very, very good. I don't think the pastor should be counting the offering, right? I don't think that obviously money is spiritual, and so we're part of the decisions, but I don't believe that a pastor should be so involved in the finances of the church. Just like it's written here, let faithful men, a real faithful men of God, and let them handle the funds. Obviously, we do it together, like the way we structure the church. I mean, involved, but it's not a day-to-day. It's not even month-to-month in this regard. And there are certain things that I think that priests, that pastors should let lay people take care of. And that just creates safety. That creates a sense of trust between the congregation and, myself. And so, for myself, and, we have some board members here at EMP, they could testify, I don't decide my salary. I don't decide anything that pertains to me financially. Even though I'm on the board, I'll leave the room and let these guys handle it. And whatever they say goes. And I trust God, because ultimately God is taking care of me, not the church. And so I trust them. They're sons of the house, and it's easy. It's done, and there's no conflict of interest. You know what I mean? There's nothing in the way. And so I agree with this model. Obviously, we should, because it's biblical. I mean, it's the model of this, in the Bible, and so it seems to work very well in this regard. And so that's exactly what happens. Unfortunately, the priests in this case are negligent, and they don't repair the house of the Lord. You'll read later on why, and if you read 2 Chronicles, I think it's chapter 24, you find out that the relatives of Athaliah, the queen, actually they come in and steal the money regularly. It's crazy how this works. The priests are so negligent. It's not that the priests were using the money for themselves. So there wasn't any kind of, there may have been, I'm reading into the text now, but primarily Chronicles tells us that they would come in and take the money and use the money for their Baal worship. And the priests were just so negligent, they didn't tell anybody about it, maybe they're embarrassed, and so they come up with plan B, and this is, you know how a lot of churches have offering boxes in the church, so you walk in, and so there's no like public offering time. They get it from this passage. And so there's a box in the church, there's a hole on top of the box. That's what Jehoiada did. He just cut a hole on the lid, and so people come in and just give their money secretly, and that's it. There's no like offering prayer in the church or anything like that. The reason why we do that at church, and the why we don't just do a box and have a time of offering and then have a song as part of the offering, is because we believe that giving is a part of worship. It's just really simple, that we worship the Lord by singing, now we worship the Lord by giving. And so we are making a theological statement when we use this approach. Now, it's not the only approach. I'm not saying it's the best approach or anything, but I'm giving you the reasons why we do what we do, and because it is an act of worship. And so that's why I ask, Pastor Nate to make sure that we have a singer or somebody do special music every single week. It's tedious, right? I mean, we don't have that many talented people. Well, we do, actually. It's like every single week. But it's because it's a part of the worship. It's, as people give, I want music, and I want celebration, and I want worship to happen, because that's what giving is. Giving is worship. It's a part of not just the worship service, but the act itself is worship to the Lord. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes to the church, and he says that your giving is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is overflowing thanksgiving to God. And so he was talking about the giving to the poor. And he says it's supplying the needs of the saints, but really it's an overflowing thanksgiving to God. I mean, what is worship if not that? This giving of thanks and honoring God for what he's done and given into our lives, or for giving thanks to him for who he is. And he talks about giving, and it's the same aspect. So, I mean, you know, you should know that already. And so hopefully I'm not telling you something that's new. So let's close our eyes. Sorry, it's a little longer than it probably needed to be, but I broke every rule of the preaching seminar we went to yesterday, but that's okay. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Are you faithful in your giving? Are you, as a partaker of this house, are you faithful to giving to this house? Or are you, and I'm going to use these words, but I don't mean any contempt by them, but are you a freeloader? Are you partaking but not contributing? You know, to run the house of the Lord, to pay for the rent, the salaries, the paper where your bulletin comes from, you know, the lights that you're enjoying now, the sound system, all that stuff, it takes money. It takes, and it's not an exorbitant amount of money, but it takes contributions from the people in the house. I mean, it's really simple. And so the idea is, are you playing your part? Are you making, just like it says here, are you making an assessment and giving out of your assessment? You know, your salary, your wages, whatever the case may be. And then on top of that, are you also offering? Now, that doesn't necessarily have to be in this house. But are you giving beyond the tithe? It pleases the Lord. You know, give to missions. Give to the poor. Give to organizations. Give to individual people as the Lord leads you. I know a lot of Asians give to their parents. I think it's a wonderful thing. Really, I think it's wonderful. Now, let generosity become a part of our DNA. The ugliest thing, one of the ugliest things that happens in someone's heart is stinginess or greed. So let the Holy Spirit speak to us to let go of that.
From you are all things, to you.
Let's pray this morning. Yeah, Lord, you deserve glory. You deserve our best, God. You know, if you're not tithing, you're not right with God. It's really simple. You are not right with God. You are stealing from Him. That is a sure sign of ingratitude. You're basically saying, Lord, I'm not grateful for the job that you give me or these wages that I receive. So your way of saying, I did it all by myself. When that's how you feel, yeah, go ahead and keep doing that. And so if that's an issue, and it is for a lot of people, I'm not downplaying it, talk to God about it. Ask the Holy Spirit and have Him really work in our hearts. I imagine for a lot of us that that's hopefully not the issue, but more the offering part of being generous, of giving above and beyond to the Lord and His causes. And that's where generosity, that's where that starts right there. And so ask God, Lord, make us a generous people. That we're so willing to give, God. Because we know that when we give, Lord, it's not decreasing from us, God, but you actually bring increase. So let's pray. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness and particularly cancer, and praying for their therapies. And let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that are battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing, but let's really pray that the Lord will reveal Himself to them. Let's pray for our community battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our members, our sister that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Let's pray for our mission focus, and let's lift up Japan, New York, and Cambodia. Let's pray in Japan. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia. Let's pray for this country. Pray for her language learning. Pray for her ministry in the church. Ask the Lord to really be with her. Let's pray for our burgeoning plant in New York. Let's pray for Pastor Chris and Amy and the group there and the leaders, that there will be an incredible sense of unity and empowerment. And let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Grace and Oasis House with Pastor Jenny. Let's pray that the Lord really move upon them. Pray that Grace would really advance in her new mission and her business. And let's just ask God's hand over these places. And talking about mission focus, let's pray for our missions council. And let's pray that they would move in the wisdom of God, make their decisions on His discernment as they lead our church and are being missional as a body. And let's just pray for them. Let's pray for our local outreach, for Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray for our leaders and our volunteers, that they will be encouraged and strengthened. The Lord really be moving upon them. Let's pray for the people that they encounter, that they would draw closer to the Lord. If they don't know Him, that God would show Himself to them. If they do know Him, that they would grow in their relationship with the Father. Let's pray for our gatherings tonight. Let's lift up the house. Let's pray for SPU, the college students, that they would just continue to grow. Pray for Pastor Andrew as he leads them. Pray for IP. Pray for the prayer meetings, that the Holy Spirit would show up and really empower their prayers. And pray for EG class tonight, that our group would really experience God. Let's pray for house church tonight. Elements, McCain, McDaddy, McRobinson, and Tavistock. And let's pray for Holy Spirit to be with us as we gather, to lead us in discussion, but really more lead us in really experiencing Him. And let's pray for His powerful times of prayer and connection with God and each other. Let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you. God, thank you for your word. I thank you that you do set us in relationships, God, that cause us to grow, Lord, and cause us to become more mature. God, we pray for everybody, Lord God, that we would have people that we are ministered, that we minister to, that we're ministered by, God, and that we are accountable to, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would just really help us individually and as a body to really grow in this respect. But Lord, we really do lift up our finances to you, God, and our personal finances, Lord. We want you to be Lord, God, over our wallets, God. Lord, as much as you're Lord over our minds, our hearts, Lord, we want you to be Lord over our wallets and our finances, God. And so would you help us, God, to be a generous people, Lord, that we would give to the poor, that we would give to the temple, God, the house, Lord, but also give to wherever you call us to, God, wherever we're compelled and led to, Lord, and that we would not hold our finances so strongly in our hands, God, but recognizing that it all belongs to you, God, so it's yours. Lord, we're just merely stewards of these things, and one day we'll be held accountable before them, Lord, and so help us, God, to be faithful stewards before you. God, we thank you, Lord. Watch over us, God, and just help us to give your son Jesus all the glory that he deserves today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you over the weekend on Sunday.